Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Northern Ireland Protocol has severely disrupted trade, adversely affected consumers, hit businesses in Northern Ireland and Great Britain, and contributed to political instability. This is according to the British Brexit Minister David Frost today, who wants it paused and then changed. But the European Union has rejected Britain's so-called command paper, and the renewed conflict is now escalating fears that these demands could lead for tit-for-tat tariffs and even a trade war. I'm joined in the studio by Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, and on the line by Sammy Wilson, East Antrim MP for the Democratic Unionist Party. Good morning to you both. Neil Richmond, I want to start with you because David Frost is writing in the Times, the London Times today, and he says, he sets out his proposals and then he says, the ball is now in the EU's court. I urge the EU to think carefully about our proposals with preserving the gains of the peace process firmly at the top of their minds. There is a huge prize on offer, stability in Northern Ireland and a better relationship between us as Europeans. Now, what's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing proposed. The command paper, the two speeches and indeed that op-ed are completely empty. They're overly simplistic. And what we said throughout this process is we had 5 years of discussion on this. The problem isn't the protocol, the problem is Brexit. The solutions can be found in the protocol and the most obvious one is an EU-UK veterinary agreement. However, what we have is a British government, not even 7 months into the implementation of this period, where they haven't implemented, where they've unilaterally acted three times, now deciding we don't like this despite the fact that we negotiated, we won a general election on the back of it and we ratified it, saying let's come back and do something totally different with no proposals. I've heard him talking about honesty box systems and alternative arrangements, all these things that were dismissed countless times. Ultimately, we have a solution now. It was a responsibility of both the UK and the EU to make it work. And saying it, the ball is simply in the EU's court is just a distractionary tactic that completely avoids the responsibilities of the British government here.
So Sammy Wilson, this is an attempt to have the same old conversation again and again and again with nothing new to offer. What do you say?
Well, first of all, I can say I'm astounded at the complacency of Neil Richmond, but of course, the protocol.
That line is. We can't hear you. So we're going to get you back on that, and we'll continue our conversation with Neil Richmond in the meantime. It's interesting, though, that Britain is not only not triggering Article 16, but also not even putting it on the table. Is it quite clever, really, to say, look, we all need to pause here. This is not working. Does it put the ball even halfway in our court, would you say, that they've been quite reasonable here?
I wouldn't say they've been quite reasonable at all. Just not triggering Article 16 doesn't make this a reasonable proposition.
Not even a threat, though, and
nor should there be. We remember the exaggerated reaction of the British government and politicians like Sammy when the EU considered for 3 hours triggering Article 16 and thankfully didn't in January. That shouldn't be up for discussion. Ultimately, the ball is in the court of both the EU and the UK.
It's there for a reason. You know what? Both sides agreed that we may need this.
And indeed, the EU could have triggered many times if they wanted to, but haven't. And it's right not to, because ultimately, within the protocol, solutions can be found. There can be flexibilities. The EU has been extremely flexible. We've seen derogations on medicines and much else. But simply the UK saying, we don't like this, we don't think it's working, come up with something else, isn't good enough. This is an international treaty. This isn't some sort of gentleman's agreement or handshake. And the actions of the British government have been absolutely appalling. And I think the fact that we have constant interjections from Lord Frost in advance of this, in the media, downplaying his own agreement, has been really quite shameless actions from someone who was a diplomat for so long and was involved in these negotiations.
Okay, shameless David Frost is. Sammy, you're back on the line now. I'm not sure if you heard some or all of what Neil Richmond has to say, but what's your response to this? That, as I said to you earlier, it's just a retake of a conversation that we've had already with no new proposals.
Well, first of all, can I say that I'm astounded at the complacency which Neil Richmond is demonstrating, because first of all, the protocol has done considerable damage to the Northern Ireland economy. It has caused political instability in Northern Ireland. It has got the potential, and indeed not just the potential, we already see the evidence of it souring and poisoning relationships between the United Kingdom and the European Union. And I would have thought that it was in everyone's interest then to address the issues as we now see them. And it is quite clear, I mean, first of all, I oppose the protocol and the withdrawal agreement on the basis that we predicted that all of the things which have now happened have happened, and indeed have happened to an even greater extent because of the intransigence of the EU.
With respect, Sammy, you've opposed everything throughout this process. You proposed Brexit, you said a no deal would be no problem. Every time you had the option, indeed, bear in mind you were part of the government for 2 years, you said a no to everything. You haven't produced any alternatives. Instead, what you've done from day one is ratchet up concerns about the protocol, exaggerate, and then throw everything and say it's all down to EU intransigence. About time, Sammy, you took a little look at yourself and realised that this isn't because of the protocol. It's your Brexit. This is what you drove throughout this process.
Neil, is this a Neil Richmond show, or is this an opportunity for me to discuss these issues with you?
Well, discuss them fairly, Sammy. Don't exaggerate for effect.
I didn't interrupt you when you were speaking at length, and I expected you would give me the same courtesy so that we can have at least a pleasant exchange rather than simply you shouting, trying to shout me down because you disagree with the points that I've made. So let me just take the issue of, first of all, we rejected every suggestion that was made. We did not. We put forward alternatives. We put forward alternatives which we believe are workable, and indeed which Lord Frost is now suggesting. The EU should be looking at the mutual enforcement of each other's regulations, the avoidance of goods which are coming into Northern Ireland solely for the purpose of being consumed in Northern Ireland, being subject to extensive EU checks, and the disruption of trade which that causes, and also avoiding the interference of the EU in the affairs of Northern Ireland. I guarantee that if someone suggested to you that laws in the Irish Republic should be made at Westminster, that they would be enforced over the heads of politicians in the Dáil, and then if the Dáil refused to introduce those laws, British courts would make a decision on what sanctions should be imposed in the Irish Republic. You would not accept that. And you're suggesting that people in Northern Ireland should accept that kind of arrangement.
But Sammy, the problem with that argument is that the British government ratified this deal.
The British government ratified the deal, but don't forget the deal had a number of issues in it, and I think they foolishly ratified it, and we said so at the time. But
they did.
But the protocol itself allows for alternatives being looked at. The political agreement, which accompanied the withdrawal agreement, also allowed for discussions about in the future about alternative arrangements. And the British government are now simply saying, look, within the protocol and within the withdrawal agreement and the political declaration which accompanied it, there was provision if the protocol was seen to be doing damage to Northern Ireland. There's provision for alternative looked at, and now they're saying we want to look at those.
Sammy, without wanting to interrupt you, there's a couple of really clear points there. You talk about alternative arrangements, you talk about the need to look about. You're talking about things that have been rejected because they're untested and they're not in existence anywhere in the world. You say that this isn't got assent in Northern Ireland, but you've completely ignore the fact that Northern Ireland voted against Brexit in the very first place. You're saying that all these issues are caused. We're not even 7 months into the protocol. This British government hasn't stood up to the mark in terms of implementing what it has signed up to do. You're not presenting any credible, thought-out alternatives. You never had. Sammy, you stood on a platform saying, no deal, no problem. We all know that Brexit in any form was going to cause problems, but this British government has chased one of the hardest possible Brexits, removing itself from the customs union, therefore meaning there has to be checks somewhere. Minimal checks at 3 or 4 ports of entry into NI from GB can be worked on. We can have tomorrow, like your former leader Edwin Poot said, Sammy, we can sit down tomorrow and agree an EU-UK veterinary deal just like Switzerland has and remove 85% checks overnight, protecting Northern Irish farmers, Irish farmers and everyone else.
Why don't we do that, Sammy?
Neil, first of all, minimal checks at ports in Northern Ireland. Do you recognise that currently 20% of all of the checks for food coming into the EU are conducted at ports coming into Northern Ireland at the insistence of the EU? So although we account for 0.4% of EU trade, we have 20% of EU checks because the EU are using the protocol to try and force the British government to do exactly what you have suggested.
Well, that's a wild accusation, Sammy. Frankly, it's beloit to say that you're using something. It's simply incorrect to say that. I just want to ask Sammy a question. Sammy, if that's the case,
there's a way to deal with this, and that is for Britain to trigger Article 16 and suspend the protocol. If it's being abused by the EU, you'd be well within your rights to do that, surely.
And they should. And they should. And indeed, what the government has said is that rather than
what will that achieve, Sammy? Sammy, in January, you screamed blue murder when the EU spent 3 hours considering Article 16. What would it really achieve? You say we want to have a sensible discussion. We want to work through the problems. And all the way, you're rushing straight to the most dramatic option without presenting any alternatives or solutions.
Well, I think what it would achieve as a citizen of Northern Ireland, as a political representative of Northern Ireland, it would stop the EU continuing to use the protocol.
No, you need to stop that accusation, Sammy, because it's false and it's frankly below you as a member of parliament to try and say the EU is doing something. The EU is simply trying to apply an international treaty that was agreed by your British government and the European Union. It is not, no one is trying to use something, but actually if the British government implemented the agreement, if they actually allowed the EU to have access to ICT, if they built the infrastructure, we wouldn't have the number of checks. We didn't have politicians like yourself saying supermarket shelves are empty. Sammy Wilson, go ahead.
Let me give you some facts, Neil. First of all, at the EU's insistence, 20% of the external checks of goods, food coming into the EU, are exercised at the Northern Ireland border.
It's the insistence of an agreed international treaty, Sammy. You need to stop that accusation.
Secondly, petty rules such as if lorries come in with soil on the treads of their tyres, they are not allowed to come into Northern Ireland because they might contaminate the EU single market. Thirdly, although 95% of the goods which come through Northern Ireland or into Northern Ireland are not at risk of ever going into the EU single market, yet the EU insists that those goods have to be checked, even though they know in some cases they're going to supermarkets, don't even have branches in the Irish Republic. And you're saying that the EU is acting reasonably. The EU is acting in the way that it is.
Sammy, you're talking about petty rules that are the result of this British government taking the hardest possible Brexit.
They're implementing the protocol in a way to do to achieve exactly the point which you have been
making. They're implementing the protocol as it was agreed with the British government. Namely, if the
UK government would now align itself.
Sammy, take the blinkers off. It's not all about the EU. It's about the treaty.
Hang on for one second. Neil, a question for you. Talk of tariffs and trade wars, and indeed from the EU, indeed yourself today calling David Frost shameless in what he is saying. That's not helpful here, is it?
Nothing about the current status quo is helpful. What would be helpful if you have two parties that are party to an international agreement meeting the responsibilities? We already have a British government that has breached this unilaterally three times. We already have a British government that's subject to legal action by the European Union. To be honest, that statement yesterday in Westminster, the goal to selectively quote the head of Marks and Spencers, was shameless. I think the British government need to realise...
The head of the Northern Ireland Retail Consortium, Aon Connolly, said we're heading for a perfect storm in October. He says we've seen nothing yet. We will need to have these export health certificates. He says it'll be an absolute mess. So it's not just the M&S guy saying this.
And I've met with Aon multiple times, and Aon's right. But the thing is, we can overcome what the potential downside is if we actually implement the protocol properly. As I said, 85% of the needs for these checks would be removed by an agreement. Unfortunately, the head of Marks and Spencers is saying all things awful, but the Lord Frost then failed to mention that the head of Marks and Spencers also called for a veterinary SPS agreement and also acknowledged that M&S have set up a massive distribution centre in Coleraine.
Okay, so this can be sorted.
Neil, could you explain to me why is it to protect the EU single market that goods which are coming into Northern Ireland clearly only for consumption in Northern Ireland because the stores don't even have branches in the Irish Republic have to be subject to EU checks?
Well, I can explain that quite simply, Sammy. I thought you would have been aware of it because that's the terms of the British government's desired Brexit. They removed GB out of the customs union and therefore goods coming into NI have to be checked. There has to be checks somewhere. I have to really stress this, Sammy, because you asked me to explain it to you and I'll do this patiently. Ultimately, you have a form of Brexit desired by this British government, cheered on by the likes of yourself. Checks need to come somewhere. You're asking people to take a punt and talk about faith and trust and the potential of goods. But ultimately, we see the United Kingdom currently trying to negotiate a free trade deal with Australia. What would happen in a couple of years' time if homogenised beef or lamb produced to the lowest possible veterinary standards from Australia came in from GB into NI, into Ireland, across the continent? That would be extremely detrimental to the farmers of Northern Ireland, never mind the rest of the single market.
Well,
those protections are there for good reason. They were actually negotiated by British ministers when they're within the European Union. And ultimately, you had the opportunity with Theresa May's backstop to ensure that this wouldn't be possible. But every opportunity, Sammy, every opportunity you personally and your party have had to influence this process, you've gone missing.
Okay, Sammy.
And Neil, let me explain something to you then. That as far as protecting the single market is concerned, that many of the goods which come into Northern Ireland are going nowhere near the Irish Republic. And if you'd read the protocol that you're trying to defend, the protocol states that only goods which are at risk of going into the EU single market would require to be checked. There is no chance, because 95% of the goods which come here come for Northern Ireland consumption, there is no chance of them being at risk. Yet the EU are now insisting that every
is that going to work, though, Sammy? Because
and,
under
and
this,
secondly,
I just want to ask you about what David Frost is saying, because I want to know, might it work, right? So he's saying that most sea checks at Irish ports on goods moving from GB to Northern Ireland would be replaced by a new system, which would be based on trust. So largely based on the honesty of those traders. You'd have some spot checks behind the border. When has an honesty policy like that ever worked for safety guidelines?
Well, can I just tell you that if you look at the eastern border of the European Union, which is a main smuggling route, the checks along that eastern border are far less than the checks between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And yet Great Britain...
And it's a smuggling route.
Sammy, have you ever been on the Polish-Ukrainian border? Do you know how long it takes to cross it?
Look,
we've had this conversation before. People talk about Norway, Sweden, they talk about Poland, Ukraine, they talk about Turkey, Greece. These are hard borders. Many of those countries have customs arrangements with the United Kingdom. This British government, at your beckoning, have taken the hardest possible Brexit.
There's
roped
in. There's a fraction of the checks.
There's a fraction of the checks. There's a lot of them actually have customs. Sammy, you're ignoring the fact that, one, Norway trades with Sweden through the EU through EFTA. You're ignoring the fact that these countries are in customs arrangements with the EU. The UK, this government, at your beck, have chosen the hardest possible Brexit. Within the protocol, there is ways to resolve this. The easiest way to resolve, instead of talking about alternative arrangements, honesty boxes and things that are absolute pie in the sky, is to agree that EU-UK veterinary agreement. The people who will benefit the most from that are your constituents in Larne. So why wouldn't you agree to that?
And Neil, the people in Northern Ireland actually have probably got more concern about goods coming from the Irish Republic and from the EU into Northern Ireland. Don't forget, it was you who gave us horse meat and burgers.
Ah, that's Sammy. That is a really low comment. Ultimately, we had EU inspections.
True. It is true.
No, it's not. That's playing the man, not the ball. Let's stick to the argument, Sammy. You don't need to personalise and all the puns say there's a big battle. Why won't you agree in
the
EU veterinary agreement?
No, Neil.
Why do you oppose everything, Sammy? Why do you have to
It's the EU who are now authorising again the feeding of animal offal, which gave us mad cow disease, and that's going to be fed to animals in the Irish Republic and in the rest of the EU. I think it's people in Northern Ireland who are really asking.
You're trying to use smoke and mirrors here, Sammy, because you're avoiding the crux of the matter is that there's limited checks from GB into NI. There's a perfect solution, but all you want to do is cast the Irish government and the EU as enemies and cite examples that, to be honest, are below you. For someone who's been elected representative and minister in the Assembly for so long, you're better than this, Sammy. Stick to the actual argument. The protocol provides a solution to the problem of Brexit, the problem you helped create, and all you're doing is shouting down.
The protocol does not, and I guarantee that you would not accept for your constituents that laws that affect their lives would be made at Westminster and adjudicated by British courts. Yet that's what's happening in Northern Ireland. Now, don't tell me that that's...
Well, Northern Ireland also didn't accept Brexit, Sammy, but yet you're insisting that Northern Ireland signs up to the hardest possible Brexit.
No.
What do you say to the 54% of people in Northern Ireland, or the 57% of people in Northern Ireland who back the protocol? What do you say to the 2/3 of business people who back the protocol, the people who said there actually is opportunities, but really, there's politicians like yourselves, your colleagues and Stormonts who have ministers, who have decided to do it down. Well, what about we see the investment coming in? We've got protein shakes being made now in Limavady that weren't before, all because of the dual access to the UK single market and indeed the European single market. You have no interest in solutions, Sammy. All you want to do is pick Rowan Hector me on this programme.
No, No, I have an interest in solutions, but I have an interest in solutions which actually benefits Northern Ireland.
Sammy, you literally said no deal, no problem. That doesn't sound like someone who's interested in solutions. Well, you said leave means leave.
Let him respond and then we'll leave it at that. Go ahead, Sammy, you wanted to respond to that. I'm interested to hear what you think of what Neil said, that, you know, when he said to you, you're better than this.
Well, I think that, first of all, Neil knows full well that when it comes to food standards, the United Kingdom has higher food standards than many countries in the rest of the EU, and yet he's insisting, and the EU are insisting, on these draconian checks at the border between GB and Northern Ireland when our food standards are very high. In fact, our food standards...
Can you base that on facts, Sammy? Can you show me the evidence for that, for the fact that they both generally have the same food standards?
Are you telling me that since UK firms currently use EU regulations when processing food, that those regulations and those standards are substandard?
I'm not the one who said that the EU has lower standards than the UK because the UK uses EU standards. This makes no sense to me.
We're using EU standards at present, so there really shouldn't be any problem.
All right.
Well, let's codify it with an agreement.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, we have to leave that there. But thank you both very much indeed. Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD. Sammy Wilson, East Antrim MP for the DUP. Thank you both.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.